From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, May 7th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listener support and by Modern Pest Services, committed to taking an intelligent approach to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The Maine Center for Disease Control has confirmed an additional 76 cases of COVID-19 today. CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says the spike includes several dozen of the total 51 cases confirmed at the Tyson Poultry Processing Plant in Portland, as well as an outbreak of 13 cases at the Springbrook Center Nursing Home in Westbrook.
12 residents and one staff member there have tested positive for COVID-19.
The total number of confirmed cases across the state is now 1,330. The number of deaths remains at 62. Governor Janet Mills announced today that Maine will be able to triple its testing capacity for COVID-19. She says her administration has purchased new COVID-19 test kits from Westbrook-based IDEX Labs. We'll have more on that story in a moment. The state's highest court has ruled that Maine voters will have their say on Central Maine Power's proposed billion-dollar power line through western Maine in November. The Supreme Judicial Court today rejected a former CMP employee's claim that thousands of signatures submitted by opponents to get the referendum question on the statewide ballot should be invalidated. Tom Saviello is a leader with the Say No to the CMP Corridor Coalition.
But I'm very happy the people of the state of Maine will have a voice in this corridor, and this despite all the CMP's efforts to silence them.
The court ruled that opponents did not violate state law by allowing some notaries who certified petition signatures to do other work specifically against the project. CMP has spent millions of dollars on lobbying, advertising, and legal expenses aimed at building support and beating back opposition to the 145-mile transmission line. A spokesman for its political pact said today it would work tirelessly to win at the ballot box. And Senator Susan Collins says the federal government's releasing $300 million in emergency funds to help the nation's seafood sector, including $20 million for Maine. In a tweet this morning, she says the money's on its way, although details of exactly how it will be deployed are not yet clear. Collins, Maine Senator Angus King, and a bipartisan coalition of other coastal senators are also calling on Senate leaders to direct the Department of Agriculture to spend $2 billion to buy seafood and distribute it to local food banks. And they want another $1 billion in direct assistance to fishermen and other seafood sector businesses. In weather tonight, scattered showers with some snow in the northern mountains and lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with some light showers or flurries possible in the mountains. Breezy in the afternoon with highs in the high 40s to high 50s. Like many states, Maine's response to the novel coronavirus has been hobbled by insufficient testing. But today, Governor Janet Mills announced a deal with Westbrook-based IDEX Laboratories that she says will triple the state's capacity to track and monitor outbreaks of COVID-19. It may also lead to significant changes to the governor's phased plan to restart the Maine economy. Steve Missler has more.
Ever since March, the daily press briefings by the Maine CDC have been marked by bleak updates on case counts, new fatalities, and outbreaks at nursing homes. Thursday's briefing was different.
We have good news for you today.
In upbeat, Governor Mills announced a partnership that her administration believes could finally allow public health officials to rid themselves of a testing regime that rations critically low supplies and limits who can get a test. And if that new partnership with the veterinary diagnostics company IDEX indeed triples Maine's testing capacity as promised, it could have a significant impact on the governor's plan to get the state economy off its knees to an at least an upright position.
This changes everything.
By everything, Mills means not only a tripling in the number of tests, but potentially a future scenario in which any resident who wants a test can get one. That's not been the case in Maine or any other state due to a shortage of testing supplies, including reagents used to complete the tests.
The availability of these reagents continues to be a significant constraint on all states' abilities to increase testing. But today's announcement changes that.
Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says the deal with IDEX includes a dedicated and local supply of reagents that is not controlled by the federal government, which the governor says has previously requisitioned and diverted some supplies meant for Maine, including a dramatically reduced shipment last month of new rapid tests by Abbott Labs. Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Jean Lambrew says the agreement is worth an estimated $720,000 and will be paid with money from the Coronavirus Relief Fund recently enacted by Congress.
So it was 100% federal funding.
CDC Director Shaw says the new testing capacity will allow the state to process 7,000 tests each week, up from its current level of 2,000. He says it will take about a week to install and calibrate the new equipment, but once up and running, Maine could ditch a test rationing strategy that every state has been forced to use amid a nationwide shortage and limited assistance from the federal government.
And the removal of that tiered testing system will actually make Maine one of the first state health department laboratories, if not the first, to remove all criteria and all tiers on its testing system.
That tiered system essentially limits tests to healthcare workers, people hospitalized with COVID-19, high-risk individuals, and nursing home workers and residents. Shaw says the goal is to allow any doctor who wants to order a test to do so without fear of gobbling up critical supplies. And public health experts say expansive testing is also key to any effort to replace sweeping economic shutdowns implemented by governors with more targeted responses and quarantines. Governor Mills says honed responses could soon mean significant changes to a phased reopening plan that's been criticized for being too slow and punishing for businesses in rural parts of the state thought to be less affected by COVID-19.
As a result of the new testing capacity, we do expect to update the plan to restart Maine's economy very soon.
Mills says the testing partnership with IDEX is good news at a time when good news is in short supply.
Lord knows, a year ago, if you told me I might get a little emotional over a new diagnostic test for some strange and novel virus, I would have thought that was pretty odd. Today, in very different times, we welcome good news in any form and in any way it comes to us.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The month of May is prom season in Maine, months of planning, choosing dresses, and so forth. A final celebration with friends before going on to the next stage of life. But COVID-19 has changed that. Classes are now online. Prom and graduation ceremonies have been canceled or delayed or otherwise reimagined. Robbie Feinberg spoke with some of this year's seniors about how they are dealing with the changes.
When Farmington's Mount Blue High School first closed its doors and moved to remote learning back in March, senior Olivia Skank says she was sure it would just be temporary.
I was definitely in denial. Like, I did not think about it, did not talk about it with my mom when she brought it up. It was mostly just, this is happening, we'll get through it 2 weeks at a time.
But then came the decision to end in-person classes for the rest of the school year. And she, as class president, had to help plan graduation.
So it kind of set in and became an actual real-life problem.
Skank says she understands why her school had to end in-person classes, but she says she and other seniors are still grieving the loss of their final semester of high school, trips, dances, scholarship nights, and graduation.
You know, like, I've gone through the steps of grief, if you want to put it that way. You know, there's stress and there is anger about it, but, you know, what it comes down to is keeping people safe and still having the end of our senior year just in different ways.
We're all holding up, but it's so hard.
Portland High School senior Kasera Abisi says between losing out on graduation, adapting to remote schoolwork, and attempting to plan for life after high school, the pandemic has taken an academic and emotional toll. And she feels unprepared for college-level classes and AP exams, which she'll take later this month.
So a lot of people are just questioning, should I even take it? Am I prepared? How will I do? And that's definitely how I'm feeling towards it as well.
And as students in the class of 2020 focus on finishing their senior year in the new environment, their school administrations are wrestling with how to recognize their achievements.
I feel like all students expect on June 14th that they're to be together to celebrate and acknowledge.
Monique Poulin is the principal of Mount Blue High School in Farmington.
So for me, if we can find some way to do that and honor the students' kind of overarching request, then that's really what we should be focused on.
Poulin says the district has considered a range of options, from virtual graduations to a parade of cars that would drive through town. Other schools have announced plans for ceremonies at drive-in theaters. Poulin says Mount Blue is waiting for more guidance from the state before making a decision. But she says students have told her that they want some of the classic traditions, caps and gowns, speeches, and diplomas.
Is there a way for us to have a socially distant graduation where at least the students are present together in a socially distant way, potentially having speeches and music in a socially distant way, and getting their diplomas in some fashion to be together and to have closure on their 13 years of being together? And if there's any way that we can honor that, we are going to do our best. But, you know, we need to operate within the structures of what our state guidelines are and what our district administration will support as well.
And those state guidelines, particularly ones restricting gatherings, have posed a challenge for many schools. Maine Education Commissioner Pender Macon says her department recently convened a team of 20 school nurses to offer guidance for schools planning graduations. The state is asking schools to follow guidelines restricting gatherings to less than 50 people. And for schools considering in-person graduations, the state is asking them to require masks, limit guests, social distance, and create plans to safely hand out diplomas to each student. For the drive-in option, the state is recommending that just one student leave their car at a time. Macon says she's also heard from schools that are planning creative workarounds, ranging from ceremonies held across several athletic fields to tiny in-person graduations with just a handful of seniors and family members sitting at least 6 feet apart.
But we really decided we would trim it down to not making a lot of recommendations on how people might plan these, but rather what must really be considered and in place for safety purposes.
Mount Blue senior Olivia Skank says that while alternative ceremonies and public measures of recognition have been great to see,
but what we really wanted to, and what I pushed for, was making sure that our class was all together one last time. I mean, it's not about the diploma that we're getting, it's about the closure of 13 years of school that we've been working on.
And despite the restrictions on large gatherings that will likely be in place for at least the next few months, Skank hopes Mount Blue High can find some way to offer closure to seniors after a semester unlike any they've experienced before. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about people helping others during the coronavirus. I'm Nora Flaherty.